Good morning. It's great to be with you this morning. First Sunday of winter. Boy, I drove away from home this morning. There was a nice little frost on the ground, and it wasn't my dog. Her name's Frosty. But no, it wasn't our Frosty girl. I caught up with Teresa very briefly on the way in, and just a brief update. This weekend there's an Emmaus walk happening, and we have a couple of our pastoral team members on the team making that happen, but also a number of pilgrims who are journeying for an Emmaus walk retreat. And the word is, God is at work. So that's very exciting. Now, this morning we're launching into a new series on sustainable living practices, and our topic today is upcycling, and I hope to make some sense of that for us as we journey into this series. I'd like to, if you have a Bible, or you may use a device, iPad or iPhone or something, or if you don't have any of that, we do have the scripture up here. It's out of the NLT. I'm going to read you a passage out of 1 Timothy 2, chapters 1, verses 1 to 7. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. So Paul talking to Timothy, and this is towards the end of Paul's ministry, and he's starting to write, and the difference between 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, they're called pastoral epistles because they are addressed specifically to Timothy and Titus. They're not like Corinthians that's addressed to a church, or Galatians that's addressed to a church. So they call these the pastoral epistles, written towards the end of Paul's life, where he recognises that his influence in the emerging discipling communities is going to be diminishing over the next period of time, somewhere around 62, 67 AD. And he's actually now writing to Timothy about some concerns about what happens when Christians gather. Okay, so that's a little bit of the background for this. So he says to Timothy, I urge you first of all to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority, so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. For there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message God gave to the world at just the right time, and I have been chosen as a preacher and apostle to teach the Gentiles this message about faith and truth. I'm not exaggerating, just telling the truth. And so the topic that for this morning is this whole idea of upcycling. Now, upcycling is also known as creative use. It's the process of transforming byproducts or waste materials or useless and unwanted things, cast-offs, into new materials or products, or of better quality or purpose or environmental friendliness. Now, I sometimes dread when Jackie comes home and says to me, I have been to the green shed today, because you just never know what she's gonna pick up. And invariably she comes home with these trinkets and treasures that kind of, I look at and think, what on earth are you thinking, woman? What are you thinking you're going to do with those? And lo and behold, she turns some very old forks and spoons, and you'll notice that they're actually jar tops and bottle tops, into a decoration for our fence in the garden. There you go. Now, if you promise to me you'll be gentle with it, I'll let you have a bit of a gander. But Jackie's watching Gardening Australia and all of these things. Oh, I can do that. Oh, that smart. And all of a sudden, all this stuff comes in from the green shed and she upcycles. And so we have these wonderful, you know, she comes home with plates, and then she sticks little mirrors and mosaic tiles on plates and hangs them up in the garden. It's wonderful. Keeps the birds away. Very clever. I have a very resourceful wife. Very capable, turning trash. One person's trash is another person's treasure. But the whole upcycling thing is about that. Now, when Clayton set that title for this morning's message, I'm sure he didn't intend to suggest that our politicians and our political process, because part of this praying is to be praying for kings and those in authority. I don't think he was suggesting at all that they will waste material or useless or unwanted. In actual fact, Clayton said, this is quite timely that we, with a new government and having gone through the election, that we actually pray. And we're going to have some moments where we can pray together through this sermon, just in small groups of friends, and I'll give you some guidance around that prayer. But I think what Clayton's focus and what he's wanting to bring out of this is that if we pursue kingdom purposes rather than their own personal preferences, because there were winners and losers last week. You know, one part of the community is really celebrating, the other part of the community is going, oh. And I don't know much about the political process except to say this. Whichever government is in place, the stronger the opposition, the better the decisions. The government process isn't just about which party would suggest they are in power. Sure, they have a lion's share in terms of policy making, but a strong opposition makes a better government. So we need to not just be praying for one part of the government at the expense of the other. I think, you know, the responsible part of the democratic system that we're part of is to remember it, we have a whole political system, not just half, which happens to be the party that we may have preferred or least preferred. I know, I must confess, it was a challenge that last election with that long list. And did you see in the middle the pirate party? Oh, never mind. We won't go there. But I think where the rub is, the rub of upcycling, is when our prayers take on kingdom perspective, and by kingdom I mean when our prayers represent justice, not just us, right? But when our prayers represent justice, when our prayers are about mercy, when our prayers are about compassion, when our prayers are about loving kindness, and when our prayers are about faithfulness, those five pillars for me are the pillars of the kingdom. The place where Jesus is king is known by those five pillars. Thank you, Dawn. Oh, the pen and paper for the orders. Thank you. Talk to Jackie afterwards. Yes, absolutely. Thank you. There you go, my dear. Well, put him back there. Okie dokie. Looks like you're going to get some jobs out of this. That's great. So when our prayers are shaped by those pillars of the kingdom, we can take on the things around us that are not and upcycle them to God's purposes, partnering with God, participating with God to actually meaningfully upcycle kingdom responses to things that are going on around and about. So where we see things that fall short of God's kingdom, that produce waste, that produce unwanted results, our prayer invites God to release his purposes into the situation or circumstance. You see, God's already there. He's already present. It's about inviting his presence to at work in his purposes. He works and walks alongside of people of prayer who will partner with him in prayer to invite him to work, to bring alignment with the purposes of his kingdom. And that will yield, according to Timothy, peaceful and quiet lives that are marked by godliness and dignity. So this week, as we consider the first topic of the series in sustainable living practices, we've got this idea of upcycling coming alongside the practice of prayer. Now, prayer, it's spiritual breath. You know, some would say prayer doesn't work. Well, I would say it's not meant to. Prayer is actually an expression of relationship. You know, we can't come to God thinking that we're going to have some magical formula to offer him, to cajole some sort of blessing out of him. Prayer is about the relationship that we have with God, to tap into our partnership with God, to capture his heart and reflect it into the world. That's how I understand prayer. And it's about relationship. And there are two elements of prayer. One of them is, you know, the personal devotion, the stuff that we carry with us. Paul says that we're to pray without ceasing. And please, when you're driving the car, do not close your eyes and pray. Okay? It's okay to pray with your eyes wide open. But we can carry a prayer in our heart all the time, in every circumstance and situation. It doesn't necessarily begin with "Dear God" and "Amen." It's an attitude of understanding that we are walking with Jesus. So there's that personal devotion, but then there's public devotion, which is corporately we gather and publicly through submission and petition, we come to God with a number of different kinds or types of prayer. But what Paul says to Timothy, first of all, there's this priority of prayer. He says, first of all, the phrase, first of all, proton panton, it could indicate something that's first in a series or a hierarchy or a list, but whatever the influence, whatever that means in the Greek, prayer is the first thing on the agenda when believers gather. When we gather, it's right that we start with Jesus because he's the one who brings us together. We recognize Jesus' presence with us, and it's the right and reasonable place to start. And followers of Jesus, when we gather, we are a praying people. We're going to talk. If Jesus is present, surely we're going to talk to him. And we know he's present to include him in conversation. We're a praying people because we understand this is what pleases God. And when a local church prays and depends on prayer, God responds. I think we could almost say the opposite is true if it doesn't happen. But I'd rather focus on the positive, that when a local church prays, and there's stories all over the place, stories about Sao Paulo in Brazil, the transformation series of videos, Jim Silbala, where revival broke out through churches who covenanted together to come together and pray, and God responded in amazing ways. God blesses. So we've done, that's the priority of prayer. It's first. But then we've got, as Sarah said earlier, a number of different practices of prayer. And Paul goes on to Timothy to pray for all people, ask God to help them, intercede in their behalf and give thanks for them. Other translations indicate these four ideas. And by the way, Ali, I really like the idea of supplication meaning sugar. I really like that. Sprinkle a bit of sugar on it. Yeah. I think that that's quite interesting, that supplication is when we offer a prayer in response to a felt need. We recognize a need around and about us, and it's a supplication on that behalf. Now, petitions, that's kind of a more personal thing. It's a little bit like when a person petitions a judge to advocate for them, maybe in a property settlement or some legal matter, that they petition the judge to act on their behalf. So a petition is more about, and I don't so much want to get us caught up, but just defining these words in this passage, petition is more about when we pray regarding ourselves and our circumstances. Our prayers, they're sacred words. And when we pray, we come to someone who's worthy of our respect. And so it's important to understand that we can, God's invitation to us is to cast our cares upon Him because He cares for us. What can separate us from the love of God? There's nothing. With confidence, knowing that our hearts have been sprinkled by the blood of Jesus, that we can draw near to God. We can cast our cares upon Him because He cares for us. So that's the prayers and the intercession. As Sarah said, it's this kind of thing where you stand in the gap. I really like the image of the Lego block where we join that which is below to that which is above. And I think for me, intercessory prayer is best described as holding your friend's hands and holding. I think that's the best picture of intercession, isn't it? That you hold your friend's hands and God's heart and bring them together in prayer. It's a lovely picture. So it's about inviting God into a circumstance on behalf of your friend. It's about upcycling them. And let's face it. How many of us in this room have got it all together and don't need someone to pray for them? Huh? Not me. I'm always ringing my friends saying, can you pray for me, please? And I don't even give them detail, but I just need someone to pray for. I need someone to upcycle me, to help me be better than I can be on my own. And I think that there's this idea of we live in the bubble of our own making. I think we need to be bold enough to talk to our husbands, our wives, but not only so, our friends and our neighbours, those around and about us, and say, can you pray for me, please? Can you upcycle me? And for those of us who are those prayers, that we have that heightened awareness of people around us, that we can upcycle them into being more than they are on their own. And of course, that's the intercession thing. And then there's thanksgiving and good grief. What a sad people we are if we can't be thankful for all that Jesus is, that our sin, we celebrated this morning, our sin died in Jesus' death. And was left in the grave. He resurrected, leaving our sin and the hole in the ground behind us. Nobody else did that for me, only Him. How can we ever stop saying thank you? So I think it's about recognizing what God has done and expressing our appreciation. So this is what I want us to do. Your turn now. You're going to have 3 minutes to gather with the people. This could be really confronting for some of you. I understand that. But as we're a community together on a journey, let's dare to reach out a little bit to one another. And if our prayers aren't necessarily verbal, that's okay too. But I'd like us to have a go at these 4 different sorts of prayer in 3 minutes together. A supplication where you think of a felt need that you know of and talk it over with Jesus. A petition to focus on God, His love for our world, His love for you. What is it that you could petition to God for yourself? For me, my petition for God is my desire to be a non-anxious presence. Over at Page this morning, there were the worship band, half an hour before, they still didn't have sound up. People are running around madly all over the place. And I just, Lord, I want to be a non-anxious presence in the midst of all of this. You know? So that's my prayer for me. That's my petition for me, that I can be a non-anxious presence. Intercession. Think of a need that you have and are happy to share with someone in your group, or a need that you know somebody else has, but sensitively, not exposing anyone to privacy things, but to pray with your friend for somebody else and have them pray for you. Or Thanksgiving. Now, I'm not expecting you do the four of them, but just have a go in a little group at doing one of them. All right? Can we do that? Move your chairs, please. 3 minutes. Move your chairs. Look for somebody. I don't want anyone to be sitting on. There we go. David and Dawn. Yeah, there you go. 3 minutes. Move your chairs. Have a go. Supplication, a petition, an intercession, or Thanksgiving. Another minute. Far be it from me to cut off good prayer, but if we could just don't move your chairs. Don't move your chairs. I haven't heard prayer like that since I was in the Solomon Islands. In the Solomon Islands, they all pray at the same time. And it was really good, including the laughter pen. I heard that guffaw earlier. Okie dokie. So the next, not just about the kind of, the kinds of prayer, the practices of prayer, but I want to talk about the focus of prayer. Notice how I've spelt focus. Check it. I got this P thing going. I didn't want to ruin it. All right. And 1 Timothy 2 and 1, verses 1 and 2 goes on to say, pray this way for kings and all who are authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. So here's the thing. We're to pray for our new prime minister and the opposition leader, all who are in authority. We're actually to pray and give thanks in these ways under God. We're to pray for the ACT chief minister and the opposition, for organisations and their leaders, for civic people, churches and their leaders. So this is what I want you to do now. A couple of minutes with one another again in that group that you've met one another, you've broken the ice. It's okay to talk to Jesus with each other. Here we go. Four areas to pray. You don't have to pray in. Some of you might want to start at the bottom and work up, others from the top work down, and others in the middle and work out. I don't really care, but this is what Paul is saying to us, that we are to pray for those in authority. So let's do it. Couple of minutes of prayer. Away you go. Okay, let's bring our prayers to a close. Stay seated with those that you're with. Don't move. It hasn't finished yet. So I want to talk briefly now about the purpose of prayer. And Paul states it very clearly to Timothy that the purpose of prayer, that it is good and pleases God, our Saviour. Why? Who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. You know, it's often been said that the purpose of prayer is not to get our will done in heaven, but to get God's will done on earth. So we need to pray for all peoples, because it's God's will, that all peoples come to a knowledge of Him, of His great love. Prayer's a good thing. And praying for those who are yet to discover God as a God who loves them, it's something that pleases God. It's a prayer that if He tells us to do it, guess what? How's he going to respond? Is He going to turn around and walk away and ignore it? I wouldn't have thought so. I think we're praying in the will of God, this purpose of prayer, that we know He will respond. And so let's spend some time, a few moments, praying for any that you may know who are distant from God. They might be within your family, within your neighbourhood, your workspaces. Let's take a couple of minutes to pray with one another for those that we know are yet to meet Jesus and discover the richness of the glory of His grace. Let's pray together. Come on, we're praying well. Come on now. All right, let's keep moving along now. So we've talked about the priority of prayer, the practices of prayer, the focus, PF, focus of prayer, the purpose of prayer, but it's all on a platform. And the platform of prayer is these four gospel truths. There is only one God. There's only one. And that God can only be approached through the person of Jesus. And that's because Jesus came on the Father's business to reconcile humankind to God. And the fourth gospel truth is these gospel truths are to be shared by us with others. And you might say, oh, that freaks me out. You know, the most effective way of sharing gospel truth with others is living lives that are consistent. As we live lives that are consistent with the truth that we hold dear, it begs people to ask the question, why are you different? What's going on? So rather than coming out with a four spiritual laws and a tract where we belt this truth down people's throats, we're engaged in a conversation with our friends and our neighbours and our family. So our final time of prayer before I wrap us up this morning, I'd like us to spend some time praying about how God wants us to share this gospel truth with others. It's what He wants. It's who we are. And it's prayer that breaks it open. God does nothing without a response of the prayer of His people. So let's pray together about who God wants us to be as His good news carriers in the world. Let's pray together. 3 minutes. Okay, let's just start to bring this to close now. You see, as we pray, we participate in God's upcycling agenda to bring restoration of things that are right. By understanding the priority of prayer, the practice of prayer, the focus of prayer, the purpose of prayer, the platform of prayer, and put this sort of prayer into play for our civic community leaders, church leaders, for those who know Him, don't know Him, for those who are struggling, we upcycle them. We participate in God's upcycling plans to transform society top down from the bottom up. You see, I say the bottom up because if someone's got a pair of worn out knees, you know where they spend their time. From the bottom up. And I think, you know, we're not seeking to interfere with the political process or any of that stuff, but rather we're looking for better outcomes, for God's kingdom outcomes and purposes and His values, that we may live more peaceably and with more dignity and with more respect, and that others might come to know Jesus. Before I hand back to Andy, Gwen, can I really would like as many of us as possible. Gwen has made this little prayer chain with lots of words, hope, prayer, strength, together, deeper. There's a whole bunch of things in this prayer chain. I'd encourage you to catch up with Gwen at the end and have a bit of a gander at what she's doing. Really, really creative. But thank you for your good-heartedness. I know I went out on a limb this morning and I know it's a little bit different, but I hope that this will help us as we participate in God's upcycling plans as he walks among us. Thank you.